masterpiece, and all that he designs will be done in me. My body is a temple of the living God. I'll worship in this house that his blood has bought. As I bear his image, oh, may I not profane the holiness I hold in this earthly frame. I belong to the Lord, oh, I am not my own. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. I will honor him, for this I know. I belong to the Lord, I am
team. You may be seated. Youth, you may depart to the youth room. All right. There we go. All right. Before we get to the sermon, I have some food for thought today for you. If you're keeping track of what's going on in the world and you know biblical prophecy, there's a lot going on to catch your eye. Go to peace and safety. Paul wrote this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they say, when they, the people of the world, is saying peace and safety or peace and security, safety can be, security is part of the definition of being safe. So the translators can translate that either safety or security. But when they are saying this, then sudden destruction is going to come upon them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. Now, this references Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus said the end of the age, tribulation period. Now, if you've been coming to the study on Sunday nights, the end time study, a couple weeks back, I showed you how many world leaders have been saying peace and safety recently. It's like the main theme coming out of so many of their mouths. They don't even realize it says this in the Bible. But after 2,000 years, then when this was written, now the world leaders, are saying those two words, peace and security, constantly. This is what they're seeking. And they're going to get a hold of a false peace and security. Then sudden destruction is going to come upon them. It's happening everywhere. Trump's Board of Peace. It's being quoted there. There's an effort to bring a peace to the world based on peace in the Middle East, as the Bible predicted. This is happening. This phrase, written 2,000 years ago, is now being said by world leaders all over the place. Go to the next slide, Levi. There's a movie coming out, Disclosure Day. Have you guys seen the trailers? Okay, it's coming out. You see the eyeball, and you see the UFO shape behind it. It's all about the conspiracy that UFOs, the government has all this information about UFOs and aliens. And now, biblically and scientifically, there are good reasons not to believe in aliens. The aliens do not exist. Biblically and scientifically, I can present that case. And when you study the phenomenon, and we talked about this a couple years ago, the UFO phenomenon and aliens, and we showed how it was very demonic in nature. Deception. They are deceiving spirits. They want people to believe in anything but this. There's a new movie coming out, supposedly making it be a big blockbuster this summer, and it's just going to blow the socks off of people Go to the next slide, Levi. It says basically it's going to challenge religious people. Because like I said, this does not teach aliens. And it goes against aliens. It's scientific. There's good scientific reasons, multiple, that I use to say no, aliens don't exist. Life outside of Earth does not exist. But we can also use this in that argument. But they're saying, oh, no, if they do exist, this undermines this. That the aliens are the ones that seeded life on the planet. They're the creators, not God. And so there's a lot of stuff on the internet right now, running around, a lot of rumors and conspiracy theories and everything, that this movie is going to just kill the faith of many believers. But if you know the truth and you have the real faith, it's never going to be killed by anything in this world. But the alien thing is huge. And I'm not preaching on it today. I just wanted to mention it. This whole thing is, and like I said, I think it's very demonic in nature. Let me ask you, when did the UFO phenomenon begin? When was the real starting point? People say, oh, there's been UFOs throughout history in the Bible. There's UFOs in the Bible. That's not true. But when did the real UFO craze begin? Who said that? Roswell. Go to the next slide. There you go. Now, if you see the date there on that paper, July 8th, 1947. That's really when the big started to catch, just grab people's attention. Now, what huge biblical prophecy was beginning to unfold in 1947? Next slide, Levi. UN was already considering it all the way through from the end of the World War, but it started taking real traction in 1947. That Israel was going to come back as a Jewish state after 1900 years. Huge prophecy of the Bible. Satan knew this. And I'm just curious, was he trying to get out in front of this prophecy? Knowing that the state of Israel was coming back and that he knew that was the time the clock was going to start ticking. Because the end, the Bible says that the latter days, the end days, cannot happen unless Israel's back in the land. And boom, 1947 and 1948, here she is. He knows his time is short. He knows there's an event coming up called the rapture of the church. Now, what was so slick, he got most of the world not even to recognize the recreation of Israel as a huge biblical prophecy. He got most of the world just they missed it. But Israel back in the land starts the clock. Then there's this time of peace and security. And the sudden destruction comes on them. And then right before that period, the church age comes to an end. And a lot of people are going to disappear. And he doesn't want people to know that. Or at least think it's happened for some other reason. So I want to show you something. Next slide, Levi. If you look into Europe, Europe is down to 2.5 to 3% Christian, Bible-believing Christians. Now, how many people do they have in Europe? They have 744 million. So 2.5 to 3% that believe in Jesus Christ, who believe the Bible. That's around 20 million. So 20 million sounds like a lot, but when you look at the numbers from Europe, 744 million minus 20 million raptured out, that's 724 million left behind. That's a lot of people to go into the tribulation period. Click one time, Levi. Inside the United States, 35 to 42% of U.S. adults identify as born again or having a born again experience. Most of them is not true. The Bible, or the statistics are basically we're closer to 9% to 13% of America is probably sitting in a church this morning. And I think it's probably a little less than that. Most of our people are out of the church. They're not concerned with the church anymore. Oh, many of them will claim belief. Many will claim belief in Jesus Christ to be born again, but they don't want to have anything to do with the church. It's not possible for a born-again believer. The Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our inheritance, of the purchased possession. The Holy Spirit comes in. He brings the desires of God into us. And the desires of God is to be obedient unto our Lord. And one of those is to be His church. If you say you're a believer, but you don't want to be in church, you're not a believer. We're not in good shape. So food for thought this morning as I go into my sermon. There is a desperate, desperate need for us to be salt and light. I think it's so important. That's why God has the church for us to go out. But I think in these days, it's getting darker. There's more. Floyd, you pulled a Floyd three times today. Pulled a Floyd. Pulling a Floyd is having your cell phone go off. Floyd got better at it, but today that's three times, brother. He also did it in the prayer service. But I'm not calling you out, Floyd. But it's so important for us to understand what God wants us to do and how important we need to take it. And we can't get sidetracked. And so today I thought I wanted to kind of close out. We finished up Hebrews chapter 6, and I want to kind of put the exclamation point on the end today. I felt that's where I needed to go. So far in the book of Hebrews, this is our 48th sermon in the book of Hebrews so far. We've learned a lot. First five chapters, the writer of Hebrews is making the case for Jesus Christ. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. He lays it all out. And then in chapter 6, he encourages each one of us to take our faith serious, to follow Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that each one of you shows the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Basically, get off the fence and follow and do what those that were in the faith before us have done. The giants of the faith, the heroes of the faith. Follow them. Endure. Have faith. Get off the fence. But today, too many want an easy Christianity. One foot with God, one foot in the world. And Jesus described these types in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So many people are blind to their own sinful condition. Go to the next slide, Levi. That cold, lukewarm, hot. Don't answer this question, but where would that needle be if you were being tested on that? Blue, cold, warm, cold, lukewarm is the yellow. Red is the hot. Let's look at the tabernacle one more time. We're going to see it more through the book of Hebrews, but we looked at the tabernacle, and there you got the tabernacle that Moses assembled in the wilderness, the later that the temple would be modeled upon. In the tabernacle, you had one way in, and you first came to the altar of sacrifice, which we know represents you. You come to, that Jesus died for the sins of the world. It's the first thing you need to understand. It's what makes the gospel possible. Was that Jesus came, God in human flesh, lived the life we could not, and went to the cross for us and died in our place. Then you come to the water basin, the water there for the ritual washing, which represents the gospel, the word of God. It's the washing of the water by the word of God. You hear the word, the Holy Spirit convicts the mind, and it starts to just ring true, and the heart and the mind want to turn and put their faith in Christ. Come to Jesus Christ. From the crucifixion to the gospel, find out we're sinners, we're separated from God, and we need a Savior. And so those people who want to put their faith in Christ, commit to Christ, will enter into the holy place, which represents Jesus Christ Himself. He is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. And His death was a sweet aroma unto the Father. And Jesus is our way to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Through His death, the gospel, the word of God, we hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And those who will repent and put their faith in Christ will be found in Him, the holy place. And they have access to the Father. Click one time, Levi. There are those people who have heard it and they don't believe or they don't want it right now. So they're the cold ones sitting on the outside. But you also have another group of people, lukewarm. They're in the church, but they're not in the holy place. They sit amongst us on a pew, but they're not in the holy place. They have one foot with God and one foot in the world. They've learned to talk and sound like a believer, but they've never committed. I just pulled a Floyd. Shasta County telling me to vote Republican. Wow, Floyd. I shouldn't have called you out, man. You let it go this time? All right. Wow. Be quiet, Pat. All right. So the lukewarm is just here, but they're not committing. They don't sell out to Christ. They don't fully commit. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we were in church. One more time, one more click, Levi. And then you got those that are sold out to Christ, who have committed to Christ. Their life is changing. Their life is in sanctification and discipleship. Are they perfect? By no means. But they're growing, they're learning, and they're about being the church. And they're there. They're wanting to be salt and light wherever they go. This is what we've learned so far from the writer of Hebrews. Get off the fence. Get committed to Christ. And I believe this message is so important to God that He wrote it in the sky. And it's a message I've shared. I share every couple years, just when there's new people, and just it's a good reminder. So I believe this message of getting off the fence and taking your faith serious is so important to God that He has written it in the skies to remind us daily to pick up our cross and follow Him. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Striving to be a full moon. Psalms 19 says this: the heavens keep telling the wonders of God. The skies declare what He has done. Each day informs the following day. Each night announces the next. They don't speak a word. You can't hear a voice coming from the sky. And there is never the sound of a voice. Yet their message reaches all the earth. And it travels around the world. What message is this? What word? Well, let's go back to the beginning, the creation. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, why two lights? Why a greater light and then a lesser light? I mean, He could have done it anyway. He was the creator. But he created a great light and a lesser light. He says the skies declare each day what He has done. And it's more than just creation. There's a message. Go back to Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle. A dwelling place for the sun, which is like, He says, the sun has a tabernacle, and it's like a bridegroom. That's interesting. Coming out of His chamber and rejoices like a champion to run its race. Bridegroom, Jesus, pleased for the joy set before Him, and He endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus said, I always do what the Father has given me to do. The sun in the sky is like a bridegroom coming out of His chamber, rejoices like a champion to run its race. Its rising is from the end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. We know that well here in Reading. You see, I believe wholeheartedly the message that the sky is telling me without it speaking a word or a voice. God designed it this way. The greater light that comes up, next slide, Levi, comes up in the morning, right after the darkness of night. And as the light comes in, the darkness falls away. And it represents each and every day God telling the world of what He has done. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ came into this world. God in human flesh. Jesus said this: I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's connecting Himself to the light of the world. The light of the world outside of Him is only one. It's the sun. He says, I'm the light of the world. Being the greater light of truth in this world of darkness. Psalm 84 also says this: for the Lord God is a sun. It says that. And shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You. Do we not literally trust in the sun We may not think about it, but we trust that it's going to be there the next day, that it's going to give its light and its warmth, that tomorrow's coming. We trust. The sun provides for us. Blessed is the man who trusts in Christ and the Lord as the sun, as the provider of life. Next slide, Levi. Let's look at the sun. S-U-N. The sun gives light. It gives life to the planet through photosynthesis. Plants take in that, I forget what it's called. Huh? The chlorophyll, thank you. And it grows the plants. What do the plants produce? Oxygen. What do we need for life? Oxygen, right? So the sun gives life to the planet. It warms the planet. How many of you guys, I know Floyd does. Floyd, you like the cold weather, don't you? It warms the planet. It causes the winds as the sunlight heats up the air and cold and hot air, it creates the winds. The sun is the teller of time. We have the world's largest sundial here in Reading, don't we? All based on the position of the sun, teller of time. Now let's look at the sun, S-O-N, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The sun is light. If you remember the story of Saul, when he was on the road to Damascus, before he became the Apostle Paul, he runs into Jesus Christ. And when he sees Jesus on that road, so bright as the sun, it blinds him. The sun is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The sun brings warmth into our lives. Where we used to have a stone cold heart, dead in sin and trespasses. He said, I'll take that cold stone heart out of you, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, of warmth, of life. The sun is the winds of change by the Holy Spirit He seals us with. He comes in and He changes who we are. Who we used to be, the old is gone, the new has come. We're new creations in Christ. He's the holder of time as God. He was there in the beginning. So from now on, if you have never heard this little sermon before, next slide, Levi. I want you to understand. If you're up before the sun comes up, and you see the sunrise, remember it's God telling the world of the one whom He sent into the dark world to be the light of the world. Is testifying of what He has done to save us. Jesus is that light. And Jesus came and He ran the full course God had for Him. For the joy set before Him, He died for us. To please the Father. To do what the Father asked of Him. To save us. That Son testifies. But just as Jesus was here to do that, Jesus also equipped His disciples to realize He was going to go away. They were going to be by themselves for a short time. They would have the Holy Spirit, but Jesus Himself was going to ascend and sit down at the right hand of the Father. He had His day when He was with them, but that day was going to come to an end. And they would be not walking with Him physically, they would be by themselves. And that's where I want to focus as we close. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky, Selah. Psalms 89. Now in context here, we always want to give context. Context is talking about the Word of God. It's going to be established forever. But I love the description of this promise. Like the moon. a faithful witness in the sky. How is the moon a faithful witness in the sky? Very interesting. And the word salah there means to pause a moment. Think about what you just said. What's the moon a witness to, or what, or who? You see, I believe the moon represents all who will follow Jesus Christ. I believe that. He's the greater light, and we're the lesser light. Let me show you. Next slide, Levi. The moon. Let's look at the characteristics of the moon. It reflects the light of the sun. It can't produce its own light. If the sun wasn't there, the moon, you wouldn't see it. The moon cannot produce its own light. It must reflect the light of the sun. The moon affects the tides of the oceans. The moon reveals the sun is still there, even when you can't see it. Middle of the night here, can't see the sun. How do we know the sun's still there? Because that moon's reflecting its light. It's a guide in the night. There have been a few times when the moon is so large in the sky, so bright. There's been places I've been where there's not a lot of light contamination. And it's amazing, the moon casts shadows. The moon can be so bright and reflect the light so well that it casts shadows in the middle of the night. You can navigate. You can find your way. Even in the middle of the night, because of the light of the moon. Now let's look at the Christian. The Christian reflects the light of Jesus. We cannot produce our own light. If it was up to us, our sinful nature, it doesn't produce anything good. There's no one good, no, not one in this life, in this world. When Jesus comes in, He brings light into us. We can reflect His light. But we have no light of our own. We can affect the tides of change within our families, our friends, maybe even our culture. There's enough believers taking their faith seriously and bringing the truth and standing by it. We can affect change. And there's been some great, great examples in the church history of changing great things in culture. But unfortunately, most of those stories are in the past now. Affect the tides of change. The Christian can reveal that Jesus is alive and well and coming back because He's living in us and He's changed us and He's done this and He's. We can show Christ. The Holy Spirit in us can show Christ to those who we know, and we reveal that Jesus did resurrect from the grave. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He is returning soon. We're evidence. And we're also a guide to those that are lost in the darkness of sin, of this world. We can be a moon. You see, Jesus came and He shone bright, so bright that He changed human history. I mean, it is now 2026 because of Him. But He ascended and He called a special group of people, called His church. And this is what He told His church. Matthew chapter 5. You now are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under foot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We're not to hide our light. We're not to hide our faith. We're not to be riding the fence. We're not one foot with the world and one foot with God, playing the hypocrite, the lukewarm. Jesus came and He was the light. And He did what pleased the Father. And now it's our time as His followers, as His disciples, as the ones He's redeemed. It's our turn to be His light. We can't be light in ourselves. We have to reflect Him. Which means we have to seek Him. We have to be committed to Him. We're the light. We're going out into the dark world. The dark world of schools. Your workplaces, maybe even your families, your neighborhood, to be light, to be a guide to those who are lost. You see, there's something interesting about the moon. More than just a faithful witness in the sky. Matthew 13, verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. You know, interesting aspect to the moon. It changes shape depending on its position with the earth. Go to the next slide, Levi. Here we have not quite a full moon. It has different stages, again, depending on its relation to the earth. You can only see a certain amount of it. Because of when it gets to certain positions with the earth, you start to lose the moon. You can only see a part of it. And here we start to see the moon slowly fade. You see, I think this was a design by God to remind us each and every day. Those who follow Jesus, just as the sun each day testifies to the whole world that of Jesus Christ, I believe the moon is there as an encouragement, but also a warning to the followers of Christ. Tells us to stay the course, and shows us what we want to be, how much light we want to reflect, but it also warns us not to love the things in this world more than we love Jesus. Not letting the cares of this life stop us from being light, His light. Next slide, Levi. The moon is a faithful witness, and it's sky is telling us a message. Jesus is the sun who runs his course. And now it's our turn to be the light. But here you see a moon. Looks like a believer really struggling with the world. The world seems to be getting the best of this Christian, this believer. Next slide, Levi. Oh. That may be a Christian barely hanging on. Not reflecting much light of the sun, is it? But there's even a worse condition. Next slide. A lunar eclipse where the world gets in between the sun and the moon, blocking out all the light. It's like being back up on the fence. Next slide, Levi. So really the choice is yours. Christian whose light is out or a Christian whose light is bright. Which one do you want to be? You see, it depends on your position with the world. Your relation to the world. See, if you go after the world too much, you let the world in too much, your light's going to go out. You won't be the church. You won't be consistent with being the church. You won't be serving in the church. You won't be salt and light out there as the church. You're kind of riding the fence. Maybe on the inside of the church, but you're still riding the fence. The world and its interests and its cares has too much hold of you. But you know, there's an opposite of this. Next one, Levi. The solar eclipse. Where the moon says, no world, no earth, get behind me. As Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Where the moon is right there in front of the sun and the world to its back. Getting off the fence and rejecting the world and committing to Christ. And we see when the moon gets in front of the sun and puts the world to its back, what happens to the moon? Next slide, Levi. It gets encompassed in the light of the sun. And literally, You're not supposed to look at this with your naked eye. It can burn your eyes. Just like Saul's eyes were burned on the road to Damascus. You see the moon there as a follower of Christ now. That'll be us one day. Fully glorified in Christ. Compassed in Him. So another question has already posed to you, but I'll pose it to you one more time. Which one are you going to be? You're going to be dark, way over there, can barely be seen, a slither. Which one? As a believer, which one are you? What kind of light are you in this world? Folks, the writer of Hebrews is making this case to get off the fence. Jesus tells His followers to be salt and light. It is a running theme through the New Testament. This is not just me wanting to harp on this. This is a theme of what a disciple is, a follower of Christ. And I believe it's such an important message for God had Israel to be the light unto the nations, and now He has the church. I think it was so important for Him to have us to be light that He wrote it in the sky to remind us each day and each night. So when I ask you this, you need to take it seriously, because you're going to be standing before God one day as we sing Jesus, our judge and Savior. What kind of light are you truly for Christ? In your families, friends, your workplace, school, whatever. A lot of people say, I just don't have it in me. I can't. It's just too hard. It's just too hard to do this out there. Well, I want you to remember this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, there have been so many people who have been solid witnesses for God. So many people who have gone before us. If they can do it, you can do it. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. You see, we hold on to that stuff. We don't lay it down. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Just like Jesus ran His race. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author. He's given us this faith. He's kept us in the power of faith. If you look to Him and you seek Him, He'll empower you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to help you do this hard thing that He has called you to do. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If Jesus could come and die for you, you can at least be light for Him. You can at least make the good fight of faith for Him. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Yes, it's going to be hard. That's why we have the church. That's why we have each other. But you're also going to be out there sometimes by yourself. But Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Fight the good fight of faith. People are going to go to hell. We ran into multiple people yesterday witnessing that are completely lost. You know people who are lost. Fight the good fight of faith. Maybe if you were shining brighter, it would affect more people. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. What does that mean? What really matters in this life? Your bank account right now? What kind of car you drive? How big your house is? Any of that stuff? What your occupation is? What degrees you have? Whatever you put your faith in, or you put your hobbies, whatever. Will those matter in eternity? No. It's because the world's going to burn up. And all the stuff in it. The only thing that's going to matter in eternity are human souls. So you lay hold of eternal life. You lay hold of what is valuable, what's going to last for all eternity. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Live for what is eternal. Come on up, team. Next slide, Levi. Guess what tonight is? Tonight's a full moon. I thought I found that out after I started. I was like, when is the next full moon? So I'm talking about it. Tonight! And I was like, oh, all right. That's like God confirming things, you know? But it's a special full moon tonight. It's called a blue moon. Not that it's going to look blue, but it's the second full moon in 1 month. So it's just one of those interesting things. But tonight is a full moon. So I would encourage you tonight to go out and take a look at the moon. Let God speak to you through His creation. That message, it comes without a voice. Then make a decision. You got a new day coming. And it's a reminder of that new day and who you serve. The sun will come up testifying of Jesus Christ. That's who you believe in. That's who you walk with. That's who saved you. So you see the full moon tonight. That's what God is calling us to be as believers. Sun in the morning testifies of your Lord and Savior. And you get up tomorrow ready to be that full moon. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh. Be salt. Be light. This next week, be the faithful witness of Jesus Christ that God has called you to be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. And I thank You for Your creation and what it teaches us. There's so much, Lord, about You. There's just, it's more, we are in awe when we study Your Word and we see how much is there, just beautiful teachings and just this about the sun and the moon and Your creation speaking to us a message of what You have done. And Lord, what You have done is grand. It is beyond grand. You became us. You became one of us. And You walked the life that we could not walk. Perfect in every way. You're the only one who didn't deserve for the wages of sin is death. But You took that upon Yourself and You died in our place. What You have done is a grand thing, Lord. A loving thing. A merciful thing. Gracious. For You have come to seek that which is lost and to save that which is lost. And Lord, forever we are thankful and we praise You this morning. And now, Lord, You call us to be Your light. You call us to be Your ambassadors. And I ask You to help us, Lord, to be encouraged every time we see the sun, every time the sun glare hits us and we have to look away to remember the glory of our God in heaven. And every time we see the moon, to remember what You have called us to be, a faithful witness. And I ask You to help us go walk what You have asked us to do. Walk in it, to accomplish it, to do it, to run the race. I ask You to help us to honor You and to glorify Your name. Pray this in Your name. Amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand up and we'll sing this song. You know, we got a great calling in God, but who are we in this world? We're nobodies. If we die tomorrow, the world doesn't care. But our Father does. Our Heavenly Father does. We may be nobodies in the world, but He's given us the most incredible, divine calling. What he's called us to do is the most amazing thing in the world. To tell others. To testify. Can't get any better than that. So we might be a bunch of nobodies, but he's called us to be the somebody who goes and tells everybody about Jesus Christ. Let's sing that.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line. Will all the other not quite? Will all the never get it right? But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of a family. If they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me.
I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in
history.
As another blood-bought, faithful member of the family.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen, guys. All right, let's break out of here. I think we got some children in the background. Wendy brought them in early. They must have been bad. No. She just finished up. I went over, like Darth Vader said last night, I always go over. So, Darth Vader wanted to be here as the preacher this morning. But had to be here the last night to kind of understand that. But all right, let's break out of here on the count of three. Let's go be his church. Let's go be his light and salt. Let's go be faithful witnesses of our Lord and Savior. On the count of three, let's break out of here. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.